In today's episode, we have a very special guest. His name is Lost LeBlanc, and he's a travel vlogger from Canada. He's been making YouTube videos for a little over 3 years, and during that time, he's managed to rack up over 56 million views. So today, we're going to dive into who he is, how he got started, and maybe get a taste of that secret sauce and how to become a travel vlogger.
1, 3, 5, go!
Coming from the wild, wild west indies.
Okay, guys, so today we're here with Lost LeBlanc.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Who's basically, what do you do? You're a travel vlogger?
Yeah, I'm a travel vlogger. I've been making videos for about 3 years now, and it's by some crazy chance, it's become my full-time job. So that's why I'm here in Antigua right now.
Crazy, man. Yeah. How did you actually end up in Antigua? Were you here for anything specific, or were you just passing through?
Yeah, so I actually just got off the boat for the past week, where I was sailing around with a couple other YouTubers called Sailing La Vagabond. And for the longest time, we've been trying to coordinate a time to meet. It just so happened that they were here in the Caribbean with their boat. They're like, hey, we're gonna be in Antigua in about a week's time. Are you down to join us? To be honest, I actually had never heard of Antigua until then.
That's crazy.
And so I was like, yeah, I'm always down to see a new place. So I booked a ticket. Katia is here joining me as well.
Katia.
Also Hi. Another YouTuber.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's what brought us here. To
cool,
a brand
man.
New island. It's unbelievably beautiful.
And you hadn't been to the Caribbean much before this, huh?
No, nothing really like this.
You call yourself a travel vlogger. So your job is basically to create content on a regular basis, and
yeah.
That's how you make a living, basically.
Yeah, I make a living by posting on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. Sometimes the money is earned by working with brands, so they'll put an ad inside of my video. But the ad has to be made in a way that it doesn't feel like an ad, so you have to integrate with the brand and make it part of your content. You can't just have it stick out like a sore thumb. So that's been one way. Another way is affiliate linking. So I sometimes have different things that I sell, or through Amazon. If someone buys my equipment through Amazon, I get a cut on that. If somebody signs up for the copyright-free music I use on YouTube, I get a cut of that. So those are other revenue streams. And then there's a few other ways. I've been selling travel guides to places like Thailand, the Philippines, Peru. And so those guides are just sitting online, and every time, you know, someone buys that, it helps me keep doing what I love and traveling more, making new videos, making new guides. So yeah, always learning, always making new revenue streams.
Yeah,
I think that's a major key, is you have to find a way to diversify how you make your money.
It's never just from one thing, I don't think. Yeah.
The waves are getting closer to us every time.
Yeah, we might get swallowed before this interview is over.
Yeah.
What gear do you use mainly to create your videos? What are you shooting with?
Yeah.
What do you edit with? And so forth.
I edit with a MacBook Pro 2017 15 inch. It's basically the most souped up version I could get. It was a big investment, there's no denying that, but for me, I'm on my laptop every single day editing my videos.
Yeah.
And so if I can get the something that makes my workflow a little faster, it's worth it in the long run.
Yeah.
So I've gone that and gotten that. This is my camera of choice. This is a 1DX Mark II. It's a Canon camera, and it's with me at all times around the world. Really rugged. It's my baby. Basically, this is my child. Haven't actually given him a name yet, but I typically shoot with a 16-35 2.8, so it's really good for vlogging. Very heavy, but very good. And then I also use it for cinematics with a few other lenses. And then my drone is a Phantom 4 Pro. And I'm trying to think if there's any other equipment I have. I also have a Ronin. A lot of other equipment too, so.
Got all the goodies, pretty much.
Yeah, it's not happened overnight. It's definitely been a progression of investing a lot of my earnings back into the equipment that I use. But I think that as I upgraded equipment, I've also learned that sometimes having the best equipment is not what makes your channel better. The best channel is the one that has the best story. So sometimes people look back on my old videos and they're like, oh, we like the GoPro videos better. And that's because when I wasn't shooting with this or with that, I was focusing on what was in front of me, the experiences, the moments. And so if you're watching this and you don't have the money to buy something like that, that's not a bad thing. It's actually great to just start with the basics and to learn your storytelling, because eventually when I did start getting all this equipment all at once, I did have points in my channel where I feel like I lost sight on what was most important. So yeah, get started. Story is the key thing here. And if you can tell a good story, you can build a successful channel.
Yeah, cool, man. Yeah, I think that's pretty important topic, is you know, yeah, how did you go about that? How did you find your niche, in a sense? What made you decide to do travel videos versus videos about cats or something super random, you know? What were you just passionate about travel? Was it something you wanted to do?
I just don't like cats so much, so.
You're just a cat hater?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of cats. No, the real reason I got into travel and how I guess I found my niche was because I was making videos about something I was passionate about. I was doing travel before I was even thinking about YouTube. It wasn't like I was gonna make videos about travel. It was like, I'm gonna go traveling and I'm just gonna make videos. Mm. So I thought to myself, hey, I'm gonna be doing this once in a lifetime experience of traveling Asia. I went and bought a GoPro. I started recording the memories for myself and to share them with a few friends and family. But really it was just to relive those moments. And so in doing so, I, by some crazy chance, found an audience when I started posting these videos on YouTube. And from there, yeah, it's kind of one of those things where the passion came first and the audience, the job, the everything else came after.
Nice, man, yeah.
Love to travel, love to see new places, and in sharing that experience with other people, I was able to make a job, a career.
That's awesome, man. And how long has it been since you like started to getting to where like now it's actually working and you figured it out?
So like when did I become like financially
like in
stable,
a sense where like you're like, okay, yeah, this is actually working, I can keep doing this, keep building, like how long till you like got to kind of that stage where you got like a big job or a big trip or something like that?
So I did something that most would consider pretty bold. What I ended up doing was, at first it was a hobby. I had the GoPro, I was posting videos, and I made a micro audience. Like, you know, at the end of the day I had 2,000 subscribers or something like that, and that's not enough to put food on the table, to live off of full time. But what that is that's 2,000 people that subscribed to me early on, that believed in what I was doing and really found something unique that they grabbed onto in the channel. And that, you can never underestimate your first few subscribers, because they will hopefully be the ones that bring you to where you need to be. But oh yeah, how I became.
Yeah, so how long did it take? So you started YouTube for how many years, and then before you like actually started
So basically, I started working full time after I built that audience of 2,000 subscribers, and I realized I really didn't like my job. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna do something ballsy. I am not by any means making enough money off YouTube. Maybe I was making $150 to $200 a month, but I was like, I would rather be a starving artist and do something I love than to be working and, you know, making money and not enjoying my life. So I decided to quit the job and try YouTube full time. And I guess when I first started it as a job, I was not making enough money to get by, but I had $5,000 to my name. I used a lot of it to buy a ticket to Thailand, and I just started to live very, very budget conscious. So the hotels I chose or the food I chose was all very budget. And I just worked my ass off every day to make sure I got a new video up. I made sure that I was, you know, continuing to stay on point with what my content was about. And in doing that, I would say within about 3-4 months of having quit my job, I was probably able to break even, meaning that the amount I spent that month was the same amount that I earned through ad revenue or through maybe a brand integration, even though at the time they were only like $100, but that made a big difference when I was living in Thailand. So, and then within a year, I was, you know, churning a bit of a profit, maybe pretty close to what I would expect to have earned from a full-time job, considering, you know, if I had to be downtown Vancouver, I would be paying a lot in rent and food. So I was starting to make money after a year, and after 2 years, yeah, it's been fantastic, and 3 years, even more fantastic. So the money is out there, but you know, if somebody gets into this for money, it won't really work out. You have to make sure that the passion comes first.
Passion and then strategy, I think, you know, obviously doing it for the love, but then also thinking about, you know, how you can actually make it work so you can, you know, put a little bit of food on your plate at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to have a bit of a good head on your shoulders to get past the difficult stages and to survive, because
For sure,
nobody's just gonna send you money.
And at the end of the day, you need Wi-Fi to keep uploading your videos,
you
right?
You do,
so
yeah.
You gotta at least be able to pay for that, I guess.
And it costs money to get the Wi-Fi, and
Cool, man. So after all this time, what has been your like favorite trip or collaboration that you've done, that, you know, out of everything you've done, if you could just list one thing that was like, whoa, this is crazy that I got to do this, what would that be?
I've been able to work with some really epic hotels, and I'm not gonna lie, like, my audience doesn't always love it. Sometimes they're like, this isn't what your channel's about. But personally, I love being in like one of those really nice hotels. And one of them in Thailand called Soneva was like the most dream of a 3 days. And so that was like one of those moments where you like sit back and you're like, this was all from a GoPro video that I posted on the internet a few years ago, and hard work that was put behind, you know, continuing to post. And so that was a really cool collaboration I had with a hotel group. I got to work with the tourism board in Alberta, and I got paid really well to go and travel a beautiful province to get to see new things, meet new people. And I think it's like those moments there that it's not really one moment, but a lot of moments where you realize you're just doing something that you would have done anyways, even if you weren't being paid. Yeah. And yet you're still able to earn an income and to save up money. And, you know, of course, this is fun and all, but you need to be strategic with it. If you're going to make this your job, you have to find a way to save some money. And so, you know, I'm working on that. I'm always strategizing, but every day I get calls, my job is truly a blessing.
Yeah, man, you're definitely a big inspiration to someone like myself, because I'm, you know, kind of pursuing a similar path to you, not so much travel stuff, but just creating content and trying to make money from it. So yeah. It's cool just hearing your side of the story, hearing how long it took.
You're on your way, man. Great start. And you found your niche already.
Yeah.
And I think that's key. Like, what he's got going on is he's catering to an audience, which is the kitesurfing community. And I'm sure even like Antigua could be another one of your niches.
Yep.
And I think that's how I got started, was that I was making content that there was really not a ton of information about. I focused on Southeast Asia, and by being one of the first movers and by, in my opinion, creating some of the most informational content about that place, I was able to get myself on top of that category.
Yeah.
And so you're doing the same thing for yourself right now. So I see a lot of great things going on.
Oh, snap.
Which is awesome.
Cool, man. Thanks for the feedback.
Yeah.
It's cool. So yeah, I mean, being a social media influencer, I guess, you know, it sounds amazing, looks amazing, you get to do a lot of fun stuff. Are there any downsides to, like, pursuing this for you? Like, because for sure, for me, I know it's definitely a lot of work. There's a bit of an obsession where every day you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
But for me, sometimes that does kind of make me think about, you know, is this the right thing? Because it kind of gets in the way of normal life sometimes.
Yeah.
How is it for you? How are you dealing with, like, you know, the pursuit of every day, every week? Just create.
For sure. I get this question a decent amount, where people are like, you know, you're traveling the world and you're filming it all, but are you truly enjoying it? And I think it's a valid question, because there are moments where there's a beautiful sunset, and instead of just sitting there and admiring the beautiful sunset, I'm thinking to myself, oh, I need to get the other lens on, I need to get the time lapse set up, where's my tripod? I'm freaking out and I'm stressing out because my equipment's not ready. So there's moments where it's like, you know, this is my job, and so it does change the way you go about the thing that you loved. But for me, I would be bored to tears of travel by now if I didn't have a purpose to my travel. And so this really gives me purpose while I'm seeing the world, which I love doing. But if it was always just about sitting on a beautiful beach, I would be tired by now. And for me, the negative is almost a positive. Like, even though I don't always enjoy things the exact same way the average traveler would, it's the reason I'm still enjoying things and finding meaning in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So other negatives, though, you know, you will face criticism.
Yeah.
People who don't understand what you're doing, whether it's the person on the road who sees you vlogging and they're like, what the heck's that kid doing? Or it's the friends back home who are kind of behind your back making fun of you. And I experienced some of that. It by no means ever discouraged me, because I was just set on, this is what I wanted to do. It's what I enjoyed. And, you know,
and the experiences, I think, outweigh all of that stuff anyways. It doesn't really matter, because know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really matter if they don't get it or not, you know?
And ultimately, getting ahead is always done by doing the things that others aren't. And so when you do things that other people aren't going to do, you will get criticized for it. But the positives, if you kind of stick through with it, always outweigh the negatives.
Cool, man. So yeah, what do you hope to achieve with all this reach? You know, you're building an audience, it's getting bigger every day. What do you hope to, you know, achieve in the next few years, as far as just for yourself personally, and also just for the people that are actually tuning in? Do you want to leave an impact on them, or, you know, just any thought
for
about
sure.
that?
For sure. I mean, a personal goal is to just see more of the world. I absolutely love traveling and meeting new people, new cultures. I love the feeling of being able to to inspire someone to get out of their comfort zone and travel. I get the comment a lot that, oh, I went and saw the Philippines because of your videos, or Thailand. And for me, I have so many amazing memories in these places. So when I know that somebody else went out of their comfort zone to take on that challenge, that adventure, I love that feeling. And I get so much amazing feedback of people being like, it was the best trip of my life. It was the best use of my money, the best decision I ever made. And so that's extremely rewarding. And sometimes I'm even lucky enough to meet those people on the road as I'm in those countries. And that's next level rewarding, where you get to see them face to face. So long-term goal, I mean, I would love to have more travel guides for different places in Southeast Asia. I love making videos, and I don't really have any plans to stop. So I guess just make more videos, make more guides, and set myself up in Bali, because I call that place one of my homes. It's comfortable there. I think it's beautiful, and yeah, just keep living this kind of lifestyle.
Awesome, man. Sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Cool, man. So let's not get so serious anymore, I guess, but what's like a random fact about you that no one knows? It's a random thing that maybe not even Kathy knows.
Okay.
Gotta think. He puts it all out there. So
she's
asked
me this question before, so I feel like I've already given up on my little things.
It could be the same as hers, I guess.
You can tell me. What's something funny? Huh?
Pepper?
Oh.
Needles?
Oh, yeah.
You don't like needles?
I'm deadly afraid of needles.
No giving blood? None of that stuff?
I have given blood because I believe it's a good cause, but it bugs me so much. I hate giving blood or needles. When I was younger, it took like four nurses to hold me down to get a tetanus shot. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, that's a bit of a phobia.
Cool. So no needles for Christian then.
No, I hate them. I just had to get a yellow fever vaccination though to go see her, because we were gonna go to the Amazon, and turns out I didn't even need it, but you know, it's good to have.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go to Brazil at some point.
Yeah. Cool, man.
Yeah, tattoos are okay because they're not deep needles, you know? They're just a little surface level, but it's deep needles that go under
your
skin.
That's funny that you're fine with that, but not fine with the normal needles.
Yeah.
No needles. Keep needles away from you and you'll
No
be
needles
right.
And I'll be happy. I'll have a good life.
Won't choke anyone out.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, last question. Just going to wrap it up. So, basically, what do you want to be remembered for? Let's say, you know, you had one more week. This is it.
Okay.
You know, it's coming towards the end. Life's going to be over for you. What would you want to be remembered for as far as, anything?
Dad jokes.
Dad jokes?
Yeah, I've always got straight-fire dad jokes on my channel. Yeah.
Let's hear one then. On the spot, pressure's on, man. Let's hear a little dad joke.
Okay. The example would be like, you'd be like, oh, I'm hungry. And I'd be like, hi, hungry. I'm dad.
Super dry humor, I guess, but cool, man. So that's what you want to be remembered for. After all these videos, all that stuff, he's like, Dad jokes.
You know? No, I want to be remembered for just, you know, being able to show the better side of all the places I travel to, because my channel doesn't really focus on the negatives. Of course, when you travel, you see ups and downs, and I do give a bit of a glimpse of the realities of traveling, but I do think that I've always been able to find the positives in everywhere I go. Mm. And so whether it's that sunset or that blue water, I'm always able to find and appreciate something in a different culture or in a different destination. So I love just... I want to be remembered for, you know, being able to share the best sides of all the places I've traveled to, and showing that the world is really beautiful. Because so many people are worried to travel. They think it's dangerous. They think that people will take advantage of them. And it's very uncommon that kind of stuff happens. I've traveled a lot now, and I've really realized that all those times people are like, oh, you shouldn't go there, it's dangerous or whatever. Like, typically, it's a huge generalization, and you find that there's amazing people all over the world.
Cool, man.
Yeah, fair I enough. Love sharing that.
Fair enough. Cool, man. Well, I guess big thanks for taking the time.
Yeah.
All the best with the career, man. Hopefully you just keep building and doing better.
Yeah.
I think having Katy on board will help a lot. You know, now that
definitely,
she's,
yeah. Katy will be in a lot more of the videos. And, you know, this is my first ever island interview.
Yeah.
This is the best place you could possibly be interviewed.
Right?
I love this.
It's on the beach.
The Caribbean style. Yeah.
Yeah, man. But hopefully next time around, we'll maybe get you out kiteboarding or something like that.
I hope so,
make a whole story
man.
Out
yeah.
of it.
Could I'll come cool. back to Antigua for that. Like, after seeing his videos kiteboarding,
so
no questions asked. It looks amazing.
Okay, guys, so that wraps up today's podcast. Big ups to Lost LeBlanc for taking the time to sit down and chit-chat. I've been a big fan of his work for quite a long time, so it was super sick just to link up with him while he was in Antigua. Got to show him around, and also I think we all got to learn a bit about what it takes to become a travel vlogger and live that life of someone who's creating content and actually making money from it. So big ups for sharing your story with us, Christian. If you guys want to find out more about Christian or myself, you can head over to jakekelsick.com/podcast or find us on social at Lost or Blank or at Jake Kelsick. And that's it, guys. Hope you enjoyed the episode, and I'll see you guys soon. Peace, love, and big ups.